Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, it's hour two on this New Year's Eve. Happy holidays. Happy New Year's, everybody. It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Will Chambers in today with Mike Bacsik and Alec Medford, who I tortuously said we are going to get his thoughts on, we both did, on the Mike Asked All the Football Questions, while also asking him to answer the phones for the Cowboys ticket giveaway.
That's a little tough.
I thought about it and looked at it.
Bobby came in and I was like, we're good.
Okay. Now we're going to get his thoughts, and AM on the FM is coming up in a little more than 15 minutes from now, but now time to talk more Dallas Cowboys with DallasCowboys.com's Mickey Spagnuolo. Mickey, Happy New Year. What are the plans for you tonight?
Going to the Stars game.
All right. We were just talking about that.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what's going to ruin my first question with you going to the Stars game?
What's that?
How much are you going to watch of the Penn State-Boise State game, and how interested are you in Aston Jeanty possibly being a Dallas Cowboy next year?
If I wasn't going to the game, I'd certainly be watching it. And we'll probably go somewhere to find the TV during the two intermissions to catch up on what's going on. And I'll probably tape it, too, so in case I want to watch it. And I would have no problems with drafting Jeanty if indeed he was in a spot where you can get him. Yeah, absolutely. And I would have no problems with Cam Scataboo either, by the way.
That's interesting, because Cam's fun to watch, and he's awesome, but he's so undersized. Do you think the Cowboys might be...
Well, he's undersized because he's not tall, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's thick.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first saw him, I thought he was a fullback, the way he ran. And then it was like, okay, I wouldn't mind having him on my team in some form or fashion. But yeah, he's not your typical NFL running back, and he probably wouldn't, you know, go until the third or fourth round, but let's see how he does tomorrow.
You know, things change in sports. You look at the teams that win and go, hey, we need to do more things like them, and who knows who's going to win the Super Bowl this year. But you look at what Barkley has done for Philadelphia, and they have a good team around him, and you look at what Derrick Henry has done for Baltimore, and they have a good team around him. And then we talk about Jeanty, who's playing tonight, and the possibility of, you know, the Cowboys sitting there at somewhere between, let's say, 12 and 15th pick and him possibly being available. Do you think that the success of Barkley and Derrick Henry is having conversations around the NFL about the importance of having a good running back?
Yeah, around the NFL? Sure. And I think a lot of it, you know, the salary cap had so much to do with, I think, some of those decisions on, you know, if you're taking a guy high in the first round or middle of the first round, can the guy be effective enough to get a second contract? Because for a while there, it seemed like the attitude was to treat it like a like you're buying a lease car. You know, you kind of use it for, what, 3 or 4 years and then get rid of it and get another new one. And a lot of the theory in the NFL is you would certainly like your first-round pick to get a second contract at least. Now, if you think about how everything's changed, right, it was like, well, why would you give Zeke a second contract? Well, okay, because he was pretty good. Well, now these running backs are getting second contracts, just not with the team that drafted them, right? So a little bit of a change in philosophy here. And it's only right when it works. You know, true. If you're wrong, well, that was the wrong decision. And so now, you know, revisionist history, well, why would you sign Zeke to a second contract? Well, because he was pretty darn effective on the first contract. So, you know, you can't have it both ways.
Obviously, Mick, I was never good in Major League Baseball, but I did have an agent, and I know that you don't want to tick off an agent of even a below-average player because most likely they do have above-average players on their roster, and you would like to have a good relationship with most agents.
Mm-hmm.
Is this too hardcore thinking, and I have no clue who, let's say, Aston Jenty's agent is.
But or will be, right?
Right. Well, I don't know. I think they all have agents
well,
now in
probably
college.
These days, right? Because he's done now.
Is how hard line of stance is it to tick off the player? And this is always tough because you want the player wanting to play for you. Is you draft a first-round running back and you say, well, we have a fifth-year option on you. We're using it. That's why we drafted you in the first round. And then we're going to franchise tag you for up to 2 years. That gives us 7 years of that running back where we never have to commit a long-term contract to him.
Right, yeah. And you know, when people would ask me, you know, these, you know, going into this year or whatever about Micah Parsons. And it's like, well, you know, this is going to, well, you know, can you get him? And it's like, well, if I don't want to sign him to a big long-term deal, I pick up the fifth-year option like they did, and I can franchise him again and have him for 7 years.
You know,
so I don't know, you know, how that'll go off, you know, go over when you hold out, and then yeah. You become, you know, it becomes a distraction or whatever.
Because
you could do it.
Yeah,
yes.
And I don't like this, Mick, from a former player's perspective,
yeah.
But if you wanted to be really hardcore as a general manager or president or owner, you could say, if you don't want to show up, that's fine. You're never going to get paid another dime to play football the rest of your life.
Yeah, and think about what Philadelphia did with Barkley. Because what I think gets lost is he's got so much guaranteed money that he's got a void year for like 2029, somewhere in
29,
there.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's like 40-some million.
Yeah.
And he's not under contract. So, yeah, that's one way to afford him now, but at some point you got to pay the piper.
Yeah, and I mean, and to be fair, you know, we brought it up yesterday with you, Mickey, and right. As well as Steven, that I can mention those, what was it, 8 guys that comprise 31%, and then, you know, the Cowboys with 4. At some point, there are contracts that the Eagles have where you go, that's going to be a major problem for them down the line.
Right,
so.
And, you know, and if it works and you win, then everybody will go, well, okay, so now we're going to lose for 3 or 4 years because we've pushed money down into the salary cap when we don't have the guy. But if you win and it's like, well, was it worth it? Can I get a Super Bowl and then 3 losing seasons? So yeah, there's a trade-off there.
So we're talking about, you know, the changes throughout the league, you know, and it's ever evolving. You know, I mean, the Giants, this was just, you know, months ago where they're like, we're not going to do that style of offense. And now look at them and look at the Eagles. It can happen just that fast. But what we have seen throughout the league and the success of these teams like Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, and then obviously Sean McVay with the Rams, Kyle Shanahan, the way that they do offenses, and I wonder, because Mike McCarthy has done a great job this year considering all that's around him. You won 12 games 3 years in a row. Everybody thinks he's a good coach, but yet Jerry, they're non-committal, and they're saying they're going to assess everything after the year. Do you think that the conversations they're going to have is maybe moving in a direction of the more innovative offenses, the different ones where Mike is, you know, still kind of in that West Coast, and maybe that's why they're going to possibly make a move in the offseason?
I don't know that that would affect the decision because, you know, if you wanted to do that and you wanted him to be your head coach, you go hire a offensive coordinator and say you're the head coach, right?
What, you think Mike would be willing to do that?
Well, I have no idea, you know, what would be in his mind. But some of these young guys that are doing these new offenses, it hadn't worked, right?
Mm-hmm.
How lucky did Minnesota get? with Darnold playing the way he is, right? No one planned on that. And so, there's a lot. You know, remember, the Cowboys led the league last year in scoring, in points. And they had all their guys, by the way. So some of that makes a difference.
Oh, nobody scored more points, I don't think, or even had more yards since McCarthy's been coach of the Cowboys than the Cowboys.
So now you have a bad season. You had just a slew of injuries. And then you say, okay, let's blow it up and start again. But you still got the same players that have the big contracts that have to be central to this whole deal. To me, with the running backs, and consider this, with Barkley and Derrick Henry, who are their quarterbacks, and what do those quarterbacks do?
They run it.
Yeah. So now defense has got to worry not only about the running back, but also the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps those guys do what they do, because you can't just concentrate on stopping the run with the running back, and then the quarterback pulls the ball out and goes around, and you've crowded the line of scrimmage, and he gets outside, and you know he's gone. So I think the combination of those guys being with who they're with, like, do you think if Barkley was still with the Giants, he'd be rushing for 2,000 yards?
No,
because everybody would say he's the only thing they got. We just got to stop him, right?
And so they'd be down by like 14 points at halftime.
And you have to give
time.
Up. Yeah, and you have to give up running the ball, right? So I think it's a great combination, the situation they're in, and I don't know that I always thought that way, but the more I thought about it as the season went along, it's like, well, yeah, look what these quarterbacks are running for. And their ability to do that, it helps the running back too. And then the running back helps the quarterback. So they both landed in really good situations.
Absolutely. I mean, a place where they space out defenses and have more than just the threat of them running the football. Like,
and
they
can throw
teams.
The ball too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a pretty good deal.
No doubt. Hey, Mickey, thank you so much.
Go Stars.
Go Stars, and have a great new year.
I will try to be safe and sound.